and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
And I believe that today, that God has you here with an express purpose and mission, and that's to fill you up with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit before. I tell you, it is one of the greatest, I reckon, one of the greatest experiences, and also too, one of the greatest game changers there is in the Christian life. It's one thing when we begin to walk with Jesus, we say yes to Jesus. That is incredible. But when you and I can receive the Holy Spirit into our life, we discover that God actually opens the door up for us in that, into the most incredible, incredible way to live. And that's a life lived, filled and fueled by the Holy Spirit. Well, maybe you're here this morning and maybe it's just been a while since you have been filled with the Holy Spirit, since you've encountered God's presence. I'm believing this morning that you're going to leave this morning filled, fueled and touched by the Holy Spirit in a way that only He can do this morning. If that's you this morning, you come expectant this morning. Come on, give the Lord a great hand this morning. Come on. I believe it. I believe it this morning. And so when you receive Christ, the Bible says the Holy Spirit begins to, straight away, He comes into our world. He comes into our heart. But more than that, the Holy Spirit actually dwells in us. He brings us alive to God. That's the Holy Spirit at work, is a spirit that brings life. I was preaching before in the book of Genesis, and there's the Holy Spirit right there in the beginning as God's creating life. There's the Holy Spirit. And I love that because that's such a great picture of who He is. It's the Holy Spirit. His role is to bring us alive to God. The Bible says that before you and I knew Christ, before we received Christ and we were born again, it says that we were dead. What it means by that is it doesn't mean we're physically dead. It means that our spirit, our inner man, our inner person was dead. It was cut off from God. But the moment that you and I receive Christ into our life, we are born again. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit, He does that work from the inside out, that He breathes life into us. Our spirit comes alive. And when you and I, when our spirit comes alive, it means that you and I can have relationship with God, that His life begins to flow into us. And that's why the Holy Spirit has come. It's to bring the life of God on the inside of us so that you and I can do everything that God has called us to do. But more than just the life of God, the Holy Spirit's come to fill you with power. Did you know that? I said the Holy Spirit, church, has come to fill you with power. He says that you will wait for the Holy Spirit, because when the Holy Spirit comes, He's going to fill you with power. And that power, it says, is going to come from on high. One translation says it this way. It says you're going to be clothed with power. Yeah, so when you're clothed with something, it's not just a moment. It means that you're going to now have this heavenly clothing. You're going to wrap yourself in. And it's going to bring power to your life, not just when you're in church, but when you're at home, when you're at work on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, wherever you go, the Holy Spirit is going to clothe you in power. And I love that, because I was thinking about actually back to when I first was learning how to drive a car, and I was thinking about how much cars have changed over the years. And there is such a difference in driving a car around these days. And for some of you young people here, we used to have these cars called manual cars. They were pretty awesome. I don't know if you've seen them before. They had like a gear stick and stuff. We actually had to do some work in the car along the way. And then there's all sorts of things. But I was thinking back to my driver's test. And I remember that I was driving a big old Toyota in this driver's test. And you're pretty nervous, you know, when you're going for your license. You don't want to make too many mistakes along the way. And I have this memory, though, and it was on a very steep hill. And I was asked on this very steep hill to do a three-point turn on a hill in a car. And it was tough. You know, I didn't want to stall. I didn't want to let the car go backwards. But actually, one of the most difficult things of doing the three-point turn on the hill was actually just turning the steering wheel around. I don't know if you remember this back in the day. My goodness, you have to actually have two hands on the steering wheel, and you'd have to actually yank that thing with great effort. And the older your car was, the bigger your car was, the more that you would strain and you would kind of struggle just to turn that wheel around, because it's like, man, changing direction in some of those cars was just, it was a work, it was an effort. And so I remember I was doing that, I was just straining to get this turn of this car around, and then I didn't actually pass that driver's test, by the way, but you know. I think actually bet the car went backwards at the time and a few other things. I mean, he was very fussy on speeding. I don't know what that was, but it was. But I remember then a few years later on when I bought my first, I bought a new car, and I think I was about 24 or 25, and then they had this amazing invention that I found in this new car. It was the first time I ever had a car that had this thing called power steering. Power steering. It was like, oh my goodness, my world has changed. I'm driving this car around. It's like you just give it a little touch, and suddenly the whole vehicle would just move and change direction so quickly. And I was like, my goodness, how much better is it driving a car that is power assisted? It's a whole different experience. There's not straining and striving and effort. And instead of that, it's just, there's ease in it. There's a sense of just, yeah, that's okay. That's okay. I can do that. And I reckon that's exactly the picture that the Holy Spirit wants to give us for how He wants us to live our life. It's a power assisted life. The Holy Spirit's come because He's come to bring power into our world so that you and I would not try to do our life and turn the direction of our life based off our human effort and our struggle and our striving and our straining. Christianity is not a religion that's based on self-effort and works. And no. Jesus came so that you and I could actually discover a life that He would then say is fueled by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we could change the direction of our life with some very simple turns and very simple decisions that we make, that the Holy Spirit will guide us and lead us. And that's the picture, I believe, for you and I here this morning, is that the Holy Spirit, He wants to fill you with power so that you and I would not have to live our life trying to just do things or accomplish things or just work through things based on human effort, but that we would discover the power of the Holy Spirit and what He can do through our life. Acts 1 verse 8 says, but you will receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. There is no option in this scripture. If the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive His power. And it says straight away, you'll become witnesses for me. That idea of witnesses is that you will be a living witness, an example for me. You will be effective in sharing your faith. You'll be effective in going out. It says, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. If Jesus was here in Brisbane, He'd say it like this, you'll be my witnesses in Brisbane. You'll be my witnesses in Queensland. You'll be my witnesses in Australia. And you'll be my witnesses all across the earth. Jesus was prophesying here about the church. He was looking ahead to this day. And He was seeing that the church would not just be a church that was confined to a place called Jerusalem where they were at this time, but the church would actually rapidly expand and grow. And the church would go out and touch every single nation and every single culture and every single people all across the face of the earth. And He was prophesying. He says, the way this is going to happen though, the way this is going to be accomplished is because the Holy Spirit's going to come and empower believers. He didn't say here, but a pastor will receive power and he'll go out and preach. He says, but you. It says, another verse, it says that they all received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They all began to speak in tongues. The Bible says it wasn't just for an exclusive few. It was for every single believer. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is for you today. It's for me today. It's for our children. In fact, Jesus promised, and He said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, both you and your children. In fact, He spoke and He said, your sons and your daughters, they're going to dream dreams. They're going to prophesy. I want to tell you, parents here this morning, grandparents here this morning, that's a promise to Jesus. If you will get filled with the Holy Spirit, your children, your grandchildren, they will get filled with the Holy Spirit. May not happen immediately, but it will happen. The influence and legacy of you encountering the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Never underestimate how that can travel out into people's worlds and affect them all around your life. Children around you, grandchildren around you, people. You receive the power of the Holy Spirit. See, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you receive something. It says that you receive something. You're empowered. Look, here's the thing. The Holy Spirit will never come and you'll find yourself disempowered. You'll always feel empowered. You'll never feel discouraged when the Holy Spirit comes. He'll encourage you. He'll bring strength in your life. God, I love this. You say, well, why do I need power in my life? Why is that so important? Here's the thing. God never gives someone work to do without first giving them the power to accomplish that work. You know, there's almost a kind of juxtaposition in the end of the Gospels, in the book of Acts. It seems a little bit kind of like, I wonder if Jesus really knew what he was saying. It seems like he gives mixed messages because he says to the disciples, and he's commissioning them, and he says in the book of Matthew 28 and verse 9, and he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. How many of you heard that scripture before? It's called the Great Commission. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's going to go with you. It's called the Great Commission. It's called the Great Go. And Jesus says, this is my church. My church has got to be a church that goes into this world, goes into cities, goes and preaches the gospel, wins the lost, makes disciples, sees great miracles happen. He's like, yeah, I mean, these disciples, and they must have been so pumped. Jesus, yes, I'm ready. Let's go. Let's do this. Come on. They've been witnesses to Jesus for 3 years of his power. They're like, we've seen the miracles. Come on, let's go. Jesus says that, but that's actually not the last words of Jesus. Jesus then says, and this is in the book of Luke 24, so he's given them the great commission to go into all the world and do these extraordinary things in his name. And then he says this, and now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay or wait here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. He says, but wait here. Hang on. Jesus, last time we chatted, you told us to go. Now this time you're telling us to wait. Which one is it? Are we going or are we waiting? I'm good either way, but which one is it? Are we to go or are we to wait? You know what Jesus was saying in here? He's saying, yeah, I've got this great work for you to do. I've got these incredible plans and purposes for your life and for the church. You're going to be part of seeing extraordinary things happen. But he says, before you can go and do the work that I've already assigned for you to accomplish, you first need to wait. Because if you don't wait, you won't receive the power that I want to fill you with to accomplish the work that I've assigned you to do. Can I tell you, you and I, we cannot do the work of God without the power of God. When you and I try to do the work of God in our life, in His calling, if you and I try to do the work of God without the power of God, it leads to frustration. And it leads to a sense of disappointment, because you and I, we cannot accomplish what God has set for our church, for our lives, without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, it's okay, I've commissioned you to go, but I need you to stay in this place. I need you to position yourself in a place of waiting. That idea of waiting is not just kind of like I'm sitting on a chair in the waiting room of the doctor's office, you know, frustrated. No, the idea of waiting here, it's the idea of that I'm actually on the front foot. And the Bible says they were waiting. The idea of waiting here is that they were worshiping. They were praying. They were expectant. They didn't know what was going to happen, but they knew that something was going to happen. And they said, well, we're not going to leave this place until we receive what Jesus promised to receive. He says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit and He's going to fill you with power. And they waited and they waited. And the Bible says after 40 days, it says, then the power of the Holy Spirit, it says, filled that place. I love it in the scripture. It says, suddenly that happened. I love suddenlies in the Bible. I love it when the Bible says suddenly something happens, because I know that's exactly where the Holy Spirit begins to move. We find ourselves, when you and I begin to get ourselves on the front foot in church, when we guys begin to worship and pray, when we respond to God, when we create an atmosphere of praise and worship, what we're doing is creating an atmosphere for a suddenly moment to happen. And God wants to move in your life. I believe for some people here this morning, suddenly, He wants to come upon you. He wants to fill you with power, the Bible says. Not the power to do something that you could do, the power to do something that only God could do through you. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit. You and I, we can accomplish the work of God when we are filled with the power of God. When we are filled, the Bible says, with the Holy Spirit. In the Bible here, in the book of Acts, the day of Pentecost. What is the day of Pentecost? Vanessa shared it so well this morning. It's actually the birthday of the church. You know, in our culture we have, which is great, we've celebrated Easter, which is a monumental event in not just in the Christian calendar, but it's actually a monumental event in the history of our world. Our whole time is based around AD and BC, when Jesus went to the cross and accomplished for us the greatest victory over sin and hell and death to bring us into life. So we have that, that's a Christmas. I mean, that's a great celebration of when Jesus, the Son of God, took off glory, took off majesty, came to earth in the form of a baby as a child. He came for us. He came for us. But I tell you, up there with those two, we should have the day of Pentecost. Jesus says, "It's better that I go." Crazy statement. What do you mean? I've been walking with you, Jesus, in the physical form for 3 years. We've seen the dead come back to life, Jesus. We've seen, Lord, with our own eyes, we have seen miracle after miracle. We've seen you come back to life. What do you mean it's better that you go? He says, it's better that I go so that the Holy Spirit would come. The reason Jesus was saying it's better that I go, the Holy Spirit would come, because he was dreaming of a day like this. Jesus could walk with his disciples, only they could walk with him, but the Holy Spirit would come and he would fill every single believer with the Spirit of God, and we could walk with him every single day of our life, and he would empower us to do, the Bible says, even greater things than Jesus did. But it only happens, the day of Pentecost was actually about these group of believers who'd put their faith in Christ, but now they needed to take the next step. You see, they'd put their faith, they'd received Christ, they'd received salvation. They would have all been water baptized. They'd stepped out from their old life into their new life. And maybe some of you here this morning, you know, next week we've got water baptisms coming. That is one of the greatest steps that you can take in the Christian life. As you say, "God, you know, I've made this decision to follow you, but guess what, God, as well, I'm getting water baptized to show this, that my old life, God, I am going to be buried with you, and now I'm going to walk into the newness of life you have. I'm going to be cleansed, I'm going to be forgiven, I'm going to walk free." But then there was one more thing they need. They had been baptized into Jesus, they've been baptized in the water. And Jesus is like, "There's one more thing you need. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled with power." They needed to be filled with power because God had a great purpose for their life. And he says, "I want you to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit." And I love it how it says, and the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost began to declare it out. He began to declare, he says, this is that which was prophesied in the book of Joel many, many hundreds of years ago. Joel prophesied this day. He says, "In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." He says, "Your sons and your daughters, they will prophesy." He says, "The young men, they will dream dreams." Your older men, he says, they will have visions. He was prophesying of this day where it would come, where people would be baptized. They would be, that word baptized, it just means to be immersed, to be completely filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, if you go through the Old Testament, you'll see time after time that the Holy Spirit would come upon a person in a moment, but would never stay with that person. The Holy Spirit came upon Samson and gave him strength. The Holy Spirit came upon Gideon and empowered him to rise up. The Holy Spirit came upon David and enabled him to write the most amazing psalms and songs and defeat Goliath. But then the Holy Spirit came upon them, but the Holy Spirit never remained on them. Do you know Jesus was the first person in all of history? The Bible says that after he was baptized in water, it says the Holy Spirit came, not only descended on him, but remained on him. And that was the picture of the day of Pentecost, where people, you and I, would be baptized in the Holy Spirit, would be filled with the Holy Spirit. He wouldn't just come upon us in a moment. The Holy Spirit would dwell within us and he would empower us. And here's what I find. When you and I get filled with the Holy Spirit, it releases within us a supernatural empowerment to do everything that God has called us to do. You know, one of the greatest evangelists that ever walked the face of the earth was a guy by the name of D.L. Moody. Some of you may have heard of D.L. Moody before. He lived in the late 1800s. D.L. Moody started his Christian life, and he very soon became a pastor of a small church in downtown Chicago. And D.L. Moody kind of thought he was doing okay in ministry, and and what he was supposed to do in life. And the story is that there were two women in his church who were filled with the Holy Spirit, who'd received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and they actually began to pray for their pastor to receive the Holy Spirit as well. And these two women actually shared with D.L. Moody and said, "We are praying, Pastor, that you will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit." Do you know what D.L. Moody's response was? He goes, "Nah, I've got enough of the Holy Spirit. When I got saved, I got some Holy Spirit. That was enough." But I love these women. They persistently kept on praying for him day after day, week after week, month after month. They say, "Our pastor, we want him filled with the Holy Spirit, God." You know, as they kept on praying, D.L. Moody would say later on, he said his heart began to open up. In fact, his heart began to become so hungry for the Holy Spirit. He began to open up the Bible in a new way. And he saw it in the book of Acts. And he saw how these very ordinary people in those times were filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit and were going out and doing extraordinary things. And he says he began on this quest to find out more about the Holy Spirit. And as he began to search scriptures, he became convicted that he needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He went back to these two women and he said, "What you've been praying for, I need. I want to pray with you that I would receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit." Very humble guy. He prayed with them. Only a few days after that, God answered D.L. Moody's request in a very extraordinary way. His prayer to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He was walking down the streets of New York. He was actually walking down Wall Street in New York one afternoon. He was about to jump on a boat to travel across the other side of the world. He said this, and this is his friend who lived at the time, said this about D.L. Moody. He was walking up Wall Street in New York in the midst of all the bustle and hurry of that city. His prayer was answered. As he was walking down the street, the power of God fell upon him. And as he walked up that street, it was so profound that he had to hurry off to find the house of a friend. And when he got there, he asked that he might have a room by himself. And in that room, D.L. Moody stayed alone for hours. And the Holy Spirit came upon him and filled his soul with so much joy that at the last point, he actually asked God to withhold his hand lest he die on the spot from so much joy. He actually went out from that place filled with the power of the Holy Spirit in a way he'd never had before. Moody would later say that he was never the same the day after he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He said, "I realized in that moment that all the things I tried to accomplish in my ministry in my life, I had tried to do in the power of my own flesh and my own strength." He said, after that, D.L. Moody went, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, he became one of the greatest evangelists all across the world, leading tens of thousands, some people say hundreds of thousands of people to Christ. And here's what D.L. Moody discovers, exactly the same thing that these early disciples discovered at the day of Pentecost. Everything changes when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. Everything comes from the power of the great Holy Spirit. He can turn ordinary people and make them extraordinary. He can take what we think is average in our life and he can turn it into something superb. Can I tell you this morning, don't ever think that the Holy Spirit is an optional extra to the Christian life. He is not. The Holy Spirit is not an optional extra. The Holy Spirit is at the center of everything that God is doing on planet Earth. He is at the center of everything that God wants to do in your life. The Holy Spirit is not optional. The Holy Spirit is absolutely essential. He was essential in creation. The Holy Spirit was essential at the virgin birth of Jesus. The Holy Spirit was essential at the writing of Scripture. He was essential at the birthing of the church. He was essential at the conversion of Saul to the Apostle Paul. He was essential in David writing the Psalms, of which most of the worship songs that we sing today have come out of that. And he was essential in you being born again. If the Holy Spirit doesn't give us new birth, then we are not born again. In fact, the Bible says the only way you and I can enter into the kingdom of God is to be born into it. Born again. The way we're born again, that only happens through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he gives us this new birth where we enter into the kingdom of God. And what I love about it is this. You and I don't have to pray for the Holy Spirit to come. Because then I tell you this, Jesus prayed that 2,000 years ago. And that prayer was answered on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has already come. The Holy Spirit is here this morning. We don't have to pray for the Holy Spirit to come. We simply have to receive the Holy Spirit. We simply have to ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I know this morning, there's some people here today, and I believe God's going to fill you this morning. Some of you for the first time. Some of you this morning, you're saying, you know what, I need to be filled again. The Bible says it this way in the book of Ephesians. It says, instead, be filled with the Spirit. You know that word, be filled? It means continuously. It means that you and I, God wants us filled up. The word filled, it means filled to the brim, so that there's nothing left. Nothing else can fit in our life. Here's what I've discovered. If you're here this morning and maybe you've been battling with a particular emotion, a particular negative emotion in my life, maybe it's anger, or maybe that emotion is anxiety, or maybe that emotion is fear. Here's what we do many times. Our greatest problem is this. When we have something like that, we focus on the problem and try to fix it. But we can't fix those things. Instead of trying to fix the problem, I believe what God wants you and I to do is just step over here and say, God, I can't change me, but God, you can. So instead, let me be filled with the Holy Spirit. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's not room for anything else in your life. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's not room for fear. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's no room anymore for anger. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's not room anymore for anxiety. And God wants to fill you. He wants to fill you with power right here this morning.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.